Hello and welcome to the Moms Can Relate podcast, a platform for mothers to share their exciting and dynamic journey of motherhood. I am the founder of the movement. My name is Debbie Bisoon and welcome to another episode. Thank you so much for the amazing response to our last episode featuring Jinx, that is Sean Paul's wife, now Levi's mom, Jinx, also a TV personality. I want to say thank you so much to the overwhelming response to our Instagram page and Facebook page, and also to our new announcement of our event on December 1 called Moms and Mimosas. It is the ultimate event before we get into the holiday rush of having to cater to everybody else except ourselves. We know the demands of the family, and so we as moms want to get together and have a wonderful time of connecting, sharing, and just having a good time, good mom time before the holidays. So stay tuned to our Instagram page for much more information on that. On there already, we have the information on the cost for the event, the time for the event, the date for event, the venue for the event. So go on there and check out all the information. If you need more information, send us an email to momscanrelate@gmail.com. All right. So this week we have an amazing interview. Her name is Kara Anderson, and Kara is an entrepreneur. She is a wife, and she's also the mom to two beautiful little girls, but she's also the mom to three babies who she lost. She talks about it in this podcast. Please enjoy. Let us begin to record. Hi guys, today we have a very special lady with us. Her name is Kara Ann Boyne Anderson. Did I do that right?
Yes, yes. Sure did. Hi Debbie, how
Kettles
are you?
Kettles and lots of promises, a lot of beauty. I'm in her office at Kettles and Promises. And let me tell you about this space though. So I, of course, missed the turn to get to the office. But then when I come here, I totally underestimated this space. It is so beautifully laid out. And of course, because it caters to weddings, it's all pretty. Like, it's so pretty. So thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, of course, no problem. It's my pleasure.
All right, so today we're talking about motherhood. Kara, you shared a very interesting story on your Instagram recently. I think it was infancy loss day.
Right, so October 15th, they call it Wave of Light. And I started this process maybe about 3 years ago, where I read up online, and you know, Wave of Light is you're supposed to just light a candle for your lost babies, and I've had three, so I started that process, and I posted on my Instagram maybe about 3 years ago, just that I had had a miscarriage, and it was the first time that I was saying it out loud, you know, after 5 years. And Randy Bowman reached out to me, and she asked me if I'd share my story, and I was like, share my story, like, with the world? Mm-hmm. And it was the best thing I ever did. In writing that piece for her, I was able to let go. I was able to grieve. I was able to share with my husband, who was beside me for those 5 years and never knew that I was suffering in silence. And I also realized that he too was suffering at that time. And it became very important to me ever since that to just share with the world. In sharing that story with Randy, everybody came out of the woodwork. When I said, you would never believe how many women right beside you in your own family. My mother shared with me that she had a miscarriage before me. And I was in shock because I know this woman 35 years of my life, you know? And I found that it really helped, and people would call and say, hey, Kara, can I just come check you out at the office? And I said, sure. And I've had so many people sit in this very seat that you're sitting with me just to talk about it and to let it out. And I've had friends of people who have had miscarriages say, you know, what do I say to her? Not sorry for your loss, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. not God knows best. Mm-hmm. And it really just inspired me to share with the world every year on October 15th, just that, you know, they're not alone and that I don't have to suffer.
All right, so let's backtrack. So that's three miscarriages. Your first attempt at having a baby, that's your first miscarriage.
My first miscarriage. I remember we were married for only 2 years, and we said, oh, we're not gonna have a baby yet, we're gonna finish our house in Orange Grove, and then we could start trying. But of course these things happen, you know. And he had gone away on tour, and I really, while he was away, I actually shared with his his mom first. You know, I was like, I have something to tell Sean. I don't know if I should tell him. You know, I don't know how he's going to react, you know, because we had a plan. This was not a part of the plan. And when he came back and I shared with him, he was so excited that Debbie, trust me, his excitement changed my entire outlook on it.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I began to celebrate and we started telling family and friends and people started buying baby gifts and sending to the house. And it was such an exciting process, you know, and I was just so overjoyed. And then I remember spotting and I remember saying to my a good friend of mine, Shauna Gayhart, and I said, you know, what should I do? And she said, you know, run down to the center, just go get checked out. It's probably nothing. And I remember it was the same day as Michael Jackson's funeral, right? And I remember it was just such a solemn day and I remember bargaining with God, like, hey, you know, just protect my baby. And I promise, church every Sunday, I'm going to give my life over.
I'm
already Catholic, but, you know, I'm going to throw a hat. You know, everything. And I remember just bargaining with God. And then I started saying, you know, why are you going through this? You don't know anything yet. Relax, whatever. I called down to the center, made an appointment. And we drove down there. And my husband went with me. And, you know, he was trying to be comical and jovial through the whole thing to take my mind off of it. And I remember sitting there with the doctor, with the nurse, and the ultrasound began. And that ultrasound was, like, longer than the other ultrasounds. And
were you able to see what was happening on the ultrasound?
No, because she had turned it away.
She turned the screen away.
You know, okay. And I was like, well, that's different.
Right.
And I remember Sean squeezing my hand and me squeezing his. And she just said to me, Carol, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I was lost at that moment because I was like, what are you talking about? Sean will tell you after I put down some CVM balling. I don't really remember that.
Some CVM.
I was just like, Sean, I don't do that. But I remember being in so much pain and I remember just phasing out. I literally lost 4 days of my life.
Wow.
Because I cannot remember anything. Everything that happened in those 4 days is things that people have told me. Friends came over to the house. I do not recall. I was put on a flight to Jamaica because my mom wanted me to come home. I don't remember getting to the airport. I don't remember that flight. I don't remember arriving in Jamaica. I remember just waking up one morning and being in my childhood bedroom with my mom and my helper who was giving me porridge, you know. And I said I wanted a second opinion. And they're like, how are you going to go through that? How are you going to put yourself through that? And I went to Dr. Winto, and it was the same thing, you know.
How far gone were you at that time?
At that point, I would have been 12 weeks.
12 weeks pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember being at the doctor's office with all the other pregnant women and wanting to scream. I remember saying, you know, how come it is that they're here pregnant and I'm sitting here and I'm empty? And it was just, Debbie, it's unbelievable grief for somebody that you've never met, you know? It was a feeling of disappointment. I felt like I had disappointed my husband, his friends, his family, my family. Just, you know, you're taught that, you know, as a woman, this is what you're supposed to do. This is a thing that you can do that men can't do. But here it was, is that, you know, what did I do wrong? Was it because for a moment I thought, you know, we weren't ready to have kids? Was it my thought process? Was it, did I do this? Is it something which I physically did? You know, and I really started to just question. And
did the doctors offer you like a medical reason after examining you as to why?
No, undetermined. Yeah, okay. You know, if you look at these forms, I also speak about the fact that when you go in there, they call it something like an elective abortion.
Elective.
And I'm like, why would you write that on my paper? You know, this is not something that I signed up for. This is not something I
you
wanted.
Decided that you wanted, no. Right.
And going in for the DNC is the worst part of it. With the other two miscarriages, I didn't have to have a DNC. But the first one, I had to have a DNC, and I went over to Andrews, and they put you on the maternity ward to have a DNC. And you pass the nursery with all the newborn babies, and you get put into a room with the pregnant mother, And I remember my mom was so upset and she asked me to be moved right away.
Because that kind of psychological impact.
Yeah, I couldn't stop crying. I was just bawling all the way through. Then you do the DNC, which is where they go in and they scrape out the remains of the baby. So you don't even get to hold a child, you know. I know that I've spoken to a couple of moms that have said, you know, they actually gave birth to stillborn. And for me, I just had pieces. I just had pieces that were no longer there. So for the 12 weeks, the prenatal vitamins for 12 weeks, eating properly to ensure that this baby was okay.
All the preparation.
It's just now gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we just felt so empty.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in God, and I was angry beyond words. I was really angry.
So how did you find the strength after that to try again? And were you scared of trying again?
Oh, of course. I didn't want to try again. And I remember, for me, there's no mourning period. There's no mourning period. You don't get to take days off work. Mm-hmm. You don't get to. It was like, oh, you're going to work today? And I was like, I need time. But there was no time to be given, you know, to jump right back in. You know. And I guess it was scary for my husband as well to think that, okay, doing this act will produce another child, you'll go through another loss. To the point that when I was pregnant with Chloe, I never celebrated Chloe. And there was no grand reveal, there was no, you know, whereas with the first baby, there was cards that were sent out to the grandparents, you know, you're going to be a grandparent, and there was a whole surprise. This time it was like, I'm pregnant, don't tell anybody. Don't say anything, don't celebrate. And not even going to lie, for until I got past that 12 weeks, and even getting past that 12 weeks was very surreal for me, because it was like, okay, you made it 12 weeks, but guess what? You have a whole nother set of weeks to go, and you're just like, don't get your hopes up.
So you were, in the back of your mind, you were expecting that something could happen at any point in time. And so you didn't want to put your hopes up.
No,
you didn't want
there was no. They're like, oh, let's plan your baby shower. And I was like,
did you have
not
one?
I did. I did have a baby shower. You know, my girlfriends really, they hold me up in one of the darkest times. They really held me up, and they had a baby shower for me in Florida and one in Jamaica. but I remember being very apprehensive, you know. I still had toys from the first baby. I still had the memories of going through that experience, and I didn't want to go through that again. I didn't want to be put through that. And then it wasn't until I sat and I actually spoke with my mom, and I said to her, you know, I'm not truly happy, you know. I'm happy on the inside because I'm pregnant, but I am deathly afraid that I will do something wrong, you know. And I remember when I went to the center, they told me my iron was low, and I was like, oh, here we go. And she was like, no, don't think of it like that. Don't think of it like that. She said, you just need to eat more red meat and greens. And Sean was giving me green juice, and I was getting iron tablets and iron elixirs. And we were trying to do everything right to make sure that this wouldn't happen again. But in the back of your mind, even with my second daughter, it was the same thing. Like, don't celebrate too early, because you never know what's gonna happen, you know. And in the back of your mind, it's always still there.
You said three miscarriages, so that was the first one on your first attempt, and then Chloe came, first baby,
and then my second miscarriage.
So when you saw the baby, when you saw Chloe for the first time, and you went through that birthing process, and you went through a water birth, why did you decide to do that? Let's do that.
So I wanted to do everything right. I felt like maybe I had done something wrong. And for everybody listening, if you've had a miscarriage, you did absolutely nothing wrong.
I'm very happy you said that. Can you say that again?
If you're listening and you've had a miscarriage, or two or three or five, you have done absolutely nothing wrong. With Chloe, when we decided to do a water birth, because I wanted to do everything right. I feel like medicine is human intervention. I knew I didn't want to do an epidural. I knew I was praying that I didn't want to do a C-section. I wanted to do it right. I wanted to have a baby naturally. I wanted to go through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
But while I was in the labor process, I was like, I changed my mind. Give me a C-section, epidural, medicine, bring it on. And they were like, that's not an option.
So the water birth, how was it set up? Like, how?
So it's really cool. I definitely say that, you know, everybody should try it at least once.
Okay.
It's very cool. So at my maternity center, they have three different rooms, three different colors, three different size tubs. Mm-hmm. I chose the one with the largest tub because it was important that Sean was on this journey with me.
So he was in the water with you?
So he was in the water with me. Mm-hmm. And they put you in hot water.
Hot water.
Okay. If you've ever had your period and you've had cramps and yes. you've had a nice hot warm shower.
Oh, it's lovely.
It's amazing.
Yes.
And I tell people that having my contractions outside of the water was harder than having them inside of the water. Inside of the water, you felt relaxed. You still felt the contractions, but the warm water against your cervix was just really helping with a lot of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
I remember they teach Sean to put his chest against my back to breathe for me. They believe in not screaming and wasting your energy. Mm-hmm. They believe that you should breathe through contractions.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit in this tub and you have the option of birthing inside the water or outside of the water. And I really, really wanted to birth inside the water because one of the things is that when Chloe was born, she swam out.
She swam out, right?
And she was under the water for a little while before they brought her out, you know? And you're watching your baby in its natural habitat under the water.
How is that? Like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it.
It's amazing. And even though we did it twice, both times it was the same thing where they swim out and they're in the water for just a little while and you get to view your baby in its natural habitat before it comes
out. What are you seeing? Replay that time for me.
You're just seeing her squirming. Like, I remember she came out and she was under the water and it just was a new environment for her. Her eyes were open.
So you're looking at her with her eyes open.
Yeah, and she's splashing around in the water and then they lift her out and you watch her take her first breath.
Oh my God.
And they put her on your chest and she begins to cry and she's alert and she's, you know, with this birthing center, you can choose who you want in the room. So I had my mom, mm-hmm. I had Sean, I had my godmother in the room with me, and then my doula. And she just looked around and she just started crying, you know?
I am crying. I'm crying. Because every time, let me tell you, when I hear about, okay, so the birthing experience is such a spiritual one, mm-hmm. you know, because you're here and you're seeing life
yes.
come out of your body.
Yeah.
But then I've always wondered, you know, I've always been very interested to think about the experience of that baby inside your belly, mm-hmm. in that world.
Yeah.
And then a water birth sounds like the closest to viewing that, you know, to hear about the life. No, on the outside,
yeah.
but really, I mean, in the closest to the kind of habitat that it is, mm-hmm. and it that's just like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was very spiritual,
awesome.
As you said.
It's
you
very
know.
Spiritual, yeah.
You see her stretching her arms for the first time, having more space than she would have had in my stomach. And then when she comes out and takes that first breath and she looks around and she looks at you, mm-hmm. and you're just
that connection.
Like, wow, you know? Oh, she came out with dead straight hair, you know, and all of this hair is like, oh, that's what all this heartburn was for. And I remember looking at her and she was like pasty white, you know. And then I'm like, hold on. And I've always had these dreams and, you know, I don't know if when you were pregnant, towards the end, like mm-hmm. in my 8th and 9th month, I used to have the weirdest dreams.
Yes.
I remember dreaming that she'd be born and she would be blue.
Mm-hmm.
I remember dreaming that I remember waking up one morning and actually beating up on Sean and saying, listen, when she comes out, don't leave her aside. Don't let them take her from me. You know,
oh, wow.
Don't let her get mixed up, because I had dreamt that, you know, they had given me the wrong baby.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in a room by yourself, so
you
it's
know
like
what?
There's nobody else.
As you say that, it's so true, because I think what happens, well, for me, I think those things that you think about, even on a subconscious level, starts manifesting itself. All the insecurities that you may have starts manifesting itself in the dreams. Because I had some really weird dreams that were in line with the things that I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very insecure and unsure and fearful about. So I think it really manifests. You're right. That's true.
Yeah, no, trust me, I had some dreams, boy. And then, you know, you're the only one in the room, so you know, you're like, okay, I just watched this baby come out of me, so I know it's mine, you know. But she was so pasty white, she just sat on my chest. And then I think for me, the most painful part is when they remove you from the water and they have to push out, you have to actually birth the placenta.
Right.
You have to birth the placenta. That was more painful to me than giving birth to the child.
It was?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm,
definitely. You know, and then you had a little tear and had to sew you up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very cool, very, very cool, you know. At that center, they believe also in taking, they make the placenta into pills that you can take.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do that with my first daughter, but I did do it with my second daughter. And I don't know if it's just mind over matter.
Yeah.
But I did feel healthier. I felt more energetic.
Mm-hmm.
I felt more involved, you know, with the second baby, but that might just be mind over matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I took them for a while, you know. They talk about the cream that is actually off of the baby, so give you a joke, right? My midwife she has to be like 70 years old.
She's like old school
but she
mother.
Doesn't look like it, because they actually used to use a cream from
off
the baby.
Yeah.
That smooths out your skin and stuff.
What
do you
mean?
So,
like the stuff that's on the baby when the baby's born?
So her name was Shari. So she wasn't my actual doula. But Shari used to use starts with a B, can't remember the name of it, but it's a cream off of the baby that keeps the baby
skin
so smooth.
Right.
And she used to make creams out of it, girl. Yeah. But she looked like amazing. My actual midwife now, she didn't do that, but she strongly suggested the placenta
pills,
and I did it the second time.
Wow.
So
after having your baby, this is now Chloe, she's alive, she's okay, and you try again
and
there's a miscarriage.
Definitely more subdued. That was only maybe about 3 or 4 weeks, and I was wondering if, you know, I was like, okay, then Chloe's my rainbow baby, she'll be my only baby that I'll have, you know, and I'm okay with that, you know. And God gave me a chance and I lost it. However,
how did you take it this time?
For me, I guess because you know that it's possible, you know, you're like, okay, I had a miscarriage the first time, but then I had Chloe, have a miscarriage this time, there's hope, you know what I mean? Hope is not gone, it's not lost. You still grieve, you still go through a process. So because my first baby was so far along, I feel like I have more of a connection, and that was more of a loss to me.
Right.
And I actually named that baby.
You
did?
Yep. You named the baby?
His name is Kimani. And it's so funny because the daughter that I have now that is 3, up to Saturday after, just a regular day out, she says to her friend is over, and she says, I had a baby brother, but he died. I have never told.
You didn't tell her
I've
at
never
all?
Told my kids. Never
so how does she,
told my
okay.
kids. And she goes, yeah, I had a baby brother, but he died. He's in heaven. He's waiting on me. And I was just like,
oh my gosh.
I actually turned and I was like, Jill, what did he just say? And she says, I have a baby brother. Yeah, but he died. And it's innocent kid talk, and you're just like, did you see that on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
She goes, no. I have a baby brother.
Did you ask her how she knows?
She just says, I just know.
She just knows.
Mm-hmm. But you see, this is also coming from my kid, who my sister-in-law is pregnant now, and she keeps telling everybody, oh, I'm going to have a sister, because Auntie Toya has a baby in her belly, and I'm just like, okay, you just don't understand. But to hear her say that, and I remember looking at my husband like, what she just said, what? But yeah, she says, I have a baby brother, and he's in heaven. He's waiting on me. And for me, that gave me comfort.
Yeah.
You know, to just say, okay, I have 3 babies and they're waiting on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And he's fine.
And he's fine.
Because obviously
clearly.
He's communicated with his sister. And he's okay.
Scary. Freaky,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, it was, I just had a closeness to the first one, and that one was so traumatic for me that I needed that. But what I've done in the past is I've taken 3 helium balloons.
Yeah.
I've written 3 messages.
Oh wow.
And I went into the front yard with my husband, because again, I didn't realize that he was grieving. I didn't realize.
What was that conversation like with him? Because I think a lot of the times, we also have a Dads Can Relate page as well.
In addition
to the Moms Can Relate,
because we
need a Father's Day special.
He is a super dad. And trust me, he's amazing.
So I'm thinking we need to probably start talking to the fathers, because that's it. We don't talk to the fathers.
No.
And I mean, it's always assumed that they are the stronger vessels. So they're there to stand with us. And then in standing with us, we don't get to examine, to talk to them, to create that avenue for them to express what they're going through, what they may be feeling.
Yeah.
What was the conversation like when you spoke to him about what you were going through and made it possible? And I think safe for him to express himself as well.
Yeah. So when I had to write the article, I asked him to proofread it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we as women, we do these things subconsciously, like, I want you to know what's going on, but I don't want to tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And I asked him to proofread it for me. And he read it. And it wasn't until then that he shared with me that it was very traumatic for him as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And seeing me in that state and not being able to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he did the best thing he could in that situation. He put me on a flight and took me home to my mom, you know, because he knows how close I am with my mom. And I remember when we had arrived in Jamaica, you know, friends came over. And for him, he has a core group of friends. They, no matter which part of the world they are, and they were there for him, you know, and he, you know, they came over, they, you know, just sat down. You don't have to talk about the situation, but just to be there.
Just to be there.
And he said that helped him.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember having that first conversation with him and saying, you know, I was so scared. And he goes, you were scared? I was scared. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen you like that. I didn't know what to do. There was nothing that I could do but sit and hold your hand, you know, and to watch, to not only lose my child, but to also watch my wife suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, you get it. You know, sometimes we sit there and we're like, you know, do they really get it? Do they understand?
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, wow, you got it. But you got it 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and I didn't realize that you got
it
five years ago. But, you know, some guys are, you know, they suffer in silence too. And I didn't realize that until that very moment.
Yeah.
And it was just me, just a simple thing, writing down our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we decided to just write the messages and release the balloons into the sky, hopefully they would get our messages.
Yeah.
And that was our grief process. That was us letting go.
Letting go, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that's baby number two. Baby number three
was after Gio. Definitely less
traumatic. How old is
Gio? So Gio is three.
Okay.
And
so this is recently?
So that would have been maybe about a year ago, actually. For me, it was, I found out I was pregnant. Well, I didn't find out I was pregnant. I found out I had a miscarriage. So I didn't have time to find out I was pregnant. So I just found out I had a miscarriage.
You went to the doctor for a normal checkup?
I just started spotting and clotting. And I was just like, whoa, what's this? You know,
and that was outside of your normal cycle?
And that was outside of my normal cycle. And I realized that I had had a miscarriage. And I was just sad. I took a couple of days off of work, you know, because I was just like, maybe I'm doing a little bit too much.
Right.
And it was just to slow down, you know. I'm happy to report. Not going for anymore.
No, that's what I was going to ask you. So you're happy
Very happy to report. My ball is full.
Yeah, is it that, okay, so is it that you are just emotionally not at that place to try again?
I think I am at capacity.
Gotcha.
Have you seen school fees?
No, I have. Let's not even read school fees. Have you seen like Gerber and Enfamil and diapers?
Girl, I'm fresh
off
of diapers.
A box of diapers is $6,000 for the box, girl. Let me tell you.
Yes, I'm just a year old of diapers, and trust me.
You feel good, right?
Oh, it was a relief. It's like, you know, you have different celebrations as a mom because you're just like, okay, no more breastfeeding. It's no formula. And you're just like, oh, formula, but it's so expensive.
Yeah.
And then when they're off formula and they start eating food, you're like, no more formula.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're out of diapers and you're like, yeah, no more diapers. So those are the milestones that you celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I just, I'm done just emotionally because I don't want to go through that again, as well as have two beautiful kids that I love with all of my heart.
And if it happens?
It never happened, Debbie.
No, no, why was it? Okay, so are you gonna do all the precautionary?
Yes, birth control. Yeah, it's real, it's alive. But for me, I just, I am no more focused on raising my two kids. Mm-hmm. Everybody says, you're not gonna go for the boy? There's no contract that I signed that said I would sign up to have a boy.
Exactly.
I didn't promise anybody a boy. Yeah. And my heart is full, mm-hmm. you know. I'm watching these two kids grow up. They mm-hmm. are the most precious gifts that I've ever had in life. Yeah. And for me, I just don't want anymore. I just, mm-hmm. I am good. I'm mm-hmm. all right. I have a wall in the house. It says, in these moments, time stood still. Mm-hmm. And I have the pictures of my two kids when they were born mm-hmm. in the water. And then my wedding picture. And I keep joking with people and say, I have no more space on the wall.
Oh, wow.
My wall is full. But I have three babies in heaven and two on earth. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's it, you know?
Yeah. You already said it, but, you know, so for women who have gone through miscarriages and who are blaming themselves and, you know, it's hard for them to even say, okay, well, let me try again, because just maybe this may be my time.
And some of them aren't ready to try again.
Some of them are not even ready to try again.
And they're just like, my husband wants to try again, but I don't want to try again.
How do you have that conversation?
But have the conversation.
Have it.
And have the conversation, because it's so important. I remember saying to Sean, you'd always say, okay, not tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say not tonight. Say, I'm not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say it out loud, it helps with the grieving process mm-hmm. of just saying, I am not emotionally, mentally, or mm-hmm. physically ready, mm-hmm. you know, and explain to him, because you don't want him to think that it's just rejection, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, all right, she's gone through this experience and she doesn't want me anymore. It's not that. It's just that we're not mentally ready to be in that time or that space, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And you need time to grieve. You need time to say, okay, you went through a very traumatic experience and you need time to recoup, to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is have that conversation. It's normal to go through the what did I do wrong and mm-hmm. to recap and okay, was it because, like, I remember I was actually pregnant in Carnival, but I didn't know,
mm-hmm.
you know? So when I found out afterwards, I was like, was it because I jumped Carnival? Was it because I had a one glass of wine?
Mm-hmm.
Was it I picked up something? Was it because I slipped on that step the other day? What was it? Mm-hmm. And you go through and you try to recap, what did I do wrong? But the truth is that sometimes the body just absorbs and your body is just not ready.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell you that after 3 miscarriages and 2 beautiful rainbow babies, your body will tell you when you're ready,
mm-hmm.
you know? And for the friends out there, just sit with your friends and just let them talk. You don't have to say anything.
No.
You don't have to answer. I remember my priest from my church actually came and sat with me
mm-hmm.
in the hospital room before my DNC, and he said, I have no answers for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the best thing he ever said to me, because mm-hmm. he wasn't coming in all holier than thou. He mm-hmm. wasn't coming in to say God knows best. He wasn't coming in to say this is for the best, sorry for your loss. He just came in and said, I have no answers for you.
But he was there. Yeah.
My brother-in-law came in to me after and sat with me and said, it's okay to be angry with God.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, God have a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't find it funny at the time. I didn't go to church for a very long time. And my mom, she's one of the pillars of Stella Maris Church.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, she'd call me every Sunday, hi, you ready to go to church?
Mm-hmm.
No. Ready mm-hmm. to go to church? No. On the Sunday that I decided to go back to church, I went in. And, you know, you have that conflict with God, like, I'm not with you,
mm-hmm.
I'm here,
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing. And as the service started, it was a baptism. With 3 babies, and I just started to cry, and I actually walked out of church, and I remember mommy saying, I'm so sorry, I didn't know it was baptism day,
mm-hmm.
da, 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 da. But that was God saying to me,
you have to deal with this.
There is life.
Yeah.
There is life.
Yeah.
And you continue to live.
Mm-hmm.
You live to tell about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is to tell people about it, and hopefully be able to share. In sharing that video on Instagram, I've had so many people I know, mm-hmm. people that I don't know, just reach out to me and say they've had similar experiences, or they just had one, mm-hmm. Or they've had several, and they just want to know if it gets easier. Mm-hmm. It never gets easier. Time heals some wounds, but you never forget.
Yeah.
You never forget.
How has the experience changed you as a person?
Oh, definitely. just my outlook on life, to mm-hmm. know that you go through a rough patch, but it's, if you don't see the light at the tunnel, then it's not the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's not until you see that beaming light, and it has changed my outlook on life. It says to me that, you know, whatever you believe in, God, the universe has a plan, mm-hmm. and you're here along for the ride. So yeah. Enjoy it every step of the way. And that's exactly what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. When I did have Chloe, which was my first daughter, it made me appreciate her so much more. Mm-hmm. It made me say, this is my miracle baby, and I have to give her everything that I want mm-hmm. for her. I want to build a boat, because one day she's going to sail away from me, and I have to build a boat so that she'll be able to sail safely away mm-hmm. and come back, mm-hmm. you know. And it has definitely just made me more aware of, you never know what people are going through.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Because you come out looking fabulous every day. You do this yeah. job so seamlessly. You're always smiling. You have such a good aura.
Oh, you know. Thank you, Debbie.
Yeah, you are just an amazing, phenomenal woman. And aww. Until you shared your experience, many women would not know. Many yeah. people would know that you this know, is what you,
I remember,
you go through daily.
I remember my husband saying, so you're going to do the video without makeup? Because yeah. he knows, you know. If we're going out for ice cream, I'm going to just put on a little powder or something. Right. And I said, you know what? I want the world to see me as me, mm-hmm. naked, no cover up, just for them to understand that you can get up. And on my brides, on my co-workers, everybody knows that I believe in sunshine and unicorns.
You believe in sunshine and unicorns?
I totally believe in sunshine and unicorns, but guess what? There are days
yeah.
when the rainbow's not so bright mm-hmm. and the sunshine is a little dim, it's just behind the cloud. Mm-hmm. And the unicorn may not come out to play today. Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's
because
okay.
you're still here.
You're still here.
Yeah.
You woke up this morning. There are other people who didn't mm-hmm. open their eyes this morning. And it's okay. Whatever you're going through right now, in this very moment, you're gonna go through it. Mm-hmm. And I hate when people say, oh, you don't have to be sad, you don't have to mourn about it. Let me go through my feelings. Mm-hmm. This is how I feel. Let me feel that
right.
in this moment. But I promise you, tomorrow,
yeah.
I'll be okay.
Yeah.
The unicorn will come back out.
Mm-hmm.
The sun will start shining again. Mm-hmm. But in this very moment,
let me feel.
Yeah. Let me sit present. Behind that cloud. Let yeah. me be present in this moment.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell people, with friends that are suffering, just be there for them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go over there and have a long conversation about the topic, mm-hmm. but go over there and play Kaluki, go over there and watch TV. Mm-hmm. And that's the best way
just
to help
there.
People to heal.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Oh my God, this was so excellent. And thank you for allowing me to cry.
No, I'm sorry I made you cry.
No, that's okay. I love it. Trust me, it has certainly provided healing. I'm sure this conversation will be providing healing for a lot of women who needed to hear it, so that they too can embrace what happened to them. You know, and understand that it's not the end.
No,
it's not the end.
There's a rainbow at the end, and it may take several tries.
Yeah.
Believe in the sunshine and unicorns.
I love it. Thank you guys so much for listening to another wonderful podcast on the Moms Can Relate platform. Please remember to subscribe and support the podcast, and we will join you soon again with another excellent interview. Thank you so much, Cara. You're awesome. So awesome. Thank you.